You know the last time Dave was on the podcast? Would you care to guess?
No, that's what I asked you that earlier. I said, when was the last time, or how long ago was that? It's probably a year ago.
I thought it was like 3 or 4 months ago.
No, a year ago, I'd say.
August 2013.
Wow, really?
A while ago. Yeah.
Yeah, that is a while ago.
Yeah.
That's crazy, right?
I don't know if I passed through here as much as I should.
Well, maybe just about the right. Just when we start to miss you, you show up. Maybe
that. I think that's it. Yeah, just kind of.
You have to leave people wanting more.
That's how I feel.
I agree.
Feel the same way.
I agree.
Good night, everybody.
That's why we only do a podcast every 3 weeks.
That's why I go under every show I do on stage.
God, we're so horrible. Is it really that? Is it almost Christmas time already?
It is. I think it is Christmas time.
It is Christmas time. We're recording this a week from Christmas.
Christmas time is here.
That's Bob Schneider.
Happiness and cheer.
This song should come with a gunshot.
The children.
A field and some bourbon.
Their favorite time of year.
Hi, welcome back to the Off the Air podcast.
Snowflakes in.
I am Chick.
The air.
That is Jess.
Hello.
Carols
and
everywhere.
We decided to come back and do a podcast.
By hell, why not? We don't have anything else to do.
It's been busy. Hasn't it been busy? The holidays are...
I don't know if it's busy or if we're just lazy.
Are we just... Is that... Well, that might be...
I don't know.
The last one we did was with Donnie Baker and the Pork Pistols, so maybe...
All of them. We needed 3 weeks to recover.
Oh, my God. You know those guys, Dave?
I don't know them personally, but I know of them, for
you
sure.
You know of them?
Yeah,
for sure. You've been around when they've been around, and...
Yeah, I've seen them performing at some clubs and stuff.
You know what Dave handed me when he... This is our guest today, Dave Landau.
Hello. Mm-hmm.
David Landau. Dave Landau? David, it doesn't matter.
I go by Dave usually, but either one is cool. I'm not picky.
David Allen.
David Allen Landau.
No, I bet you it's the worst middle name for a Dave. You could probably... I like my middle name.
Izzy? Is it Izzy?
It's Thomas, like the Wendy's guy.
Dave Thomas Landau.
After my dad, who was not aware that Dave Thomas was going to...
blow up like he did.
He certainly did.
And by blow up, I mean he was very successful.
And I mean have a massive heart attack.
Right.
And he was adopted. He did a lot of things for a fellow adopt... Foster...
Did he adopt... Is Wendy adopted?
No, he's... Dave Thomas was adopted.
But Wendy's not?
He made Wendy... Just like
See,
he made delicious burgers.
I heard two different stories. I heard that wasn't his daughter because Wendy started. I'm glad we finally talked about this on a podcast.
It is about time.
You know, Columbus, Ohio is the birthplace of about, I'm going to say, I might be wrong on this, 100% of fast food restaurants across the country start in Columbus, Ohio.
Except for McDonald's.
That seems high.
Mm-hmm. And Chick-fil-A.
You guys also have Raising Cane's there, which is one of the best in the country.
Okay, see?
Raising Cane's, what is
this
that?
This is the third person I've heard say this in a week.
It was so good.
Said it's Chick-fil-A on steroids. You think Chick-fil-A is good? No, you're
Raising
wrong.
Cane is the shit.
Raising
huh?
Cane is where you go.
It's just chicken fingers.
Yeah.
Fries, coleslaw, like they just do one thing basically and they do it perfectly.
But it's in Columbus, Ohio, right?
Columbus, Ohio. Mm-hmm. It started in, I believe, Louisiana.
Yeah, pretty sure Columbus, Ohio.
I'm pretty sure it started in Columbus.
Yep, my podcast. When we're on your podcast, Dave, we'll say, yep, Louisiana.
Yeah,
you're
yeah.
Right, buddy.
You're
see
right.
How this works. Good, perfect.
My mistake.
No, but it's the end all be all of chicken.
Huh.
Yeah.
It's so good.
Yeah.
Lums, remember Lums? Lums started in Columbus. Remember Lums? The beer battered hot dog? They dipped their hot dogs in beer.
That's
it
real?
It sounds delightful.
Beer battered hot dog? So it's a corn dog.
I'm just seeing a penis being dipped in beer.
Yeah,
I don't
exactly.
Know why. Yeah, hot dogs and beer.
That's a terrible
you didn't make
visual.
That jump?
No, I went straight to corn dog.
Children, the fellows in the room, children would think.
Immediately.
Oh, yeah. Hot dogs dipped in beer.
Cock
yeah.
dipped in beer.
Beer battered.
Beer cock.
Beer cock. Mm-hmm. We've all had that.
Way too many times, probably.
Now, beer cocks.
From a trusted uncle or friend.
Beer cocks is like Lums on steroids. They started in Columbus, Ohio. And no.
But
what there are a lot of restaurants. Anyway.
Sure, Wendy's. Go to
the
Wendy's.
The first Wendy's was across from COSI, the Center of Science and Industry in Columbus, Ohio, on downtown Broad Street. And they were also the first drive-thru, that Wendy's.
The first drive-thru ever? Or the first
drive-thru ever.
I don't believe it.
Was Wendy's?
Wendy's.
Really? In Columbus?
Look it up.
I believe you. But you know what Dave Thomas had before Wendy's? What he was known for?
He had Wendy, right?
No. He had Wendy. No. He made the KFC. He made Kentucky Fried Chicken famous.
Oh, that's right. He worked for the Colonel, right?
And made it huge.
That's
yep.
right.
Yeah.
The marketing genius.
I remember
genius.
That.
The man knows how to cook food. Apparently, the redhead woman on the commercial, though, is not Wendy. Apparently, Wendy's not a looker, so they had to go and get
No, they brought
else.
The. I saw the. They did the real Wendy a couple years ago.
Did they? Was it not appealing? Is that why they took her off?
She looks like her dad.
Oh.
Red wig.
That's horrible.
You know what? A handsome, a handsome guy, but. If you look like you're...
Not a gorgeous woman, I would assume, if you're David Thomas in a red wig.
Mm. Son of a bitch. See, the first drive-thru was McDonald's. Damn it.
No shit.
We kind of assumed that, too.
Yeah,
I just went with them.
Know.
How could it
yeah,
not
I
be?
I kind of assumed that.
They also did the double drive-thru. McDonald's invented the
Pioneered
double.
In the United States
I don't like
in the
that.
30s by Jordan
I don't
Martin.
Yeah. I feel like it's rude.
And I feel like you're cutting people off.
And I feel like there's no way they can get the order right if there's a double drive-thru. There's
yeah,
no
always,
way.
Yeah,
they somehow they check. Do.
It's just total luck that they get it.
I was at an event with many local Central Indiana McDonald's owner operators. I'm
Ooh,
not
name
yeah.
drop.
I know.
She's a mover shaker.
But right. They said always go right, no matter what, stay to the right.
Really?
Yes. If the right lane's open, go to the right.
Really?
Yes.
So that's the outside one.
Yes,
the,
outside. Always go outside.
Because what do they teach you in racing? You go low. You go
exactly.
left.
Exactly.
Yeah. Shorter route. You no. go left. The, really?
The outside yep, is the
said.
One that intimidates
See,
me.
You, can, you guys have learned something. The first drive through was a bank in the 30s. Shut it. By Jordan Martin. The first recorded use of a bank using a drive-up window teller was the Grand National Bank of St. Louis, Missouri in 1930.
I think you googled the wrong kind of drive-through.
No, drive-through example and alcohol. You know there are drive-throughs beverage beer liquor stores, drive-through liquor stores.
I've seen
in
those.
Ohio?
In Ohio.
In Ohio.
Yeah, they're not here.
I know for sure. Ohio.
There's drive-through tobacco here.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
What?
Wow, when everybody's trying to get away from that, in Indianapolis opens up.
A drive-through tobacco? What? Yeah. Where?
If you're right before Brookville Road turns into English Avenue. No, further. No, there's two of them, actually.
The Butt
oh,
Hut?
God.
What? The Butt Hut?
It's right across
Is
from
that what it's called?
Right across from the old Navistar. It's oh, right yeah. down the street. Roscoe's Tacos. It's down the street from Roscoe's. And
Chocola.
Chocola.
Yeah. I knew you were going to say that. Yeah.
You know what has the best, I just realized, drive-through for fast food is White Castle. Because if they have the double lane thing, the second lane is just like a bank teller one. Just a little box comes down and a dirty White Castle cup to put your money in. It is.
No.
It's fantastic. It's just a paper cup.
Now, I've done a lot of business and a lot of drive-thrus. I've never
That's
seen
real?
That.
It's for real.
That's
if you go to a double White Castle drive-thru,
I've never
they,
been through a double White
yeah,
Castle drive-thru.
They bring your food. They send your food over like a bank.
No.
And you just get it out of the dirty slot
oh.
and your change out of the cup.
Man, that sounds
oh
like the
gosh.
Worst insult
it,
in the word
it is
in
the
world.
Yeah.
A dirty slot.
It's
good lord.
To get your sliders.
Yeah.
The whole thing about it is very Requiem for a Dreamish. Very creepy.
I can't find first restaurant drive-thru. I'm giving up.
That's okay.
I'm sure it was Wendy's.
I believe it was in Columbus, Ohio.
Right across
so,
from
sure.
the Center of Science. And they also had this big pendulum that would, it was a clock. And the rotation of the earth, it would rotate, and that's how it knew what time it was.
At Wendy's?
It would go, no, this is Center of Science. And
okay, well, then.
And it would swing back and forth. And it would knock over these. And the guy who invented that was my electronics teacher in the vocational.
Mm-hmm.
Dave Landau joins us. Dave has got a new movie out.
I do.
He's doing comedy. He was on Last Comic Standing. He got in an argument with somebody, I heard. Maybe I've heard this backwards. Or
Roseanne didn't get a joke, and then I was kicked off the show.
I thought she did, but that's... Is that how they edited it?
No.
Is that how it happened?
That's how they edited it. They made it look
like...
When was this? This was this season.
This season. Oh,
this season, yeah. I made a joke, and she didn't get it, and she was yelling that she didn't get it in kind of a fun, playful way.
She was, really?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
And but then when they edited it, they
That's a tough word, edited.
I know, it is. I sound ridiculous. The way they cut it, yeah. I like that. Thanks. That's way better.
Hollywood. You've got the movie out. I'm talking movie talk here. Yeah. You've got the movie out.
I cut stuff. That's what
yeah,
I do.
You cut it, yeah.
I cut me, you know, myself to feel better, movies.
That's right. I cut to feel.
All the cutting.
To feel anything. That's right. I'm a cutter. Jeez.
It's Christmas cutting season.
Christmas time. So anyway,
they
you
cut
and
it,
Roseanne,
they made her look like
she was mad at me,
yeah.
And then they cut to my face and they took my sad face from one of my bits and made it look like that happened.
No.
Yeah, and then I got really mad and they put my real setup on NBC.com and people could see like, "Oh, he did really well." But I was on the show for like, you know, 4 episodes and it was going really well. And then all of a sudden I wasn't. So I was just kind of surprised because it was a good set. And, but I mean, I got a lot of exposure and a lot of fans off of it. So it was definitely a cool thing.
That is always the delicate. Do you go on those shows or is that a good way to, I guess it's a good way to be exposed, but is it, you're actually working on the art of being a stand-up comedian by doing those shows or?
You are. It's,
I guess.
I mean, you're getting your name out there, which I guess is the benefit because people want you to have TV credits. It's like, there's, not that this is like Last Comic specifically, but there's so many shows out there that it's just so, there's so much crap out there that it's hard to really be on anything good. It's kind of why, like, I made my own movie. Like, even like the late night spots, like you really want one, but at the same time, does it do anything for you anymore?
Yeah.
There's so much content out there now, and people don't care long enough, you know, to really follow people.
It's hard to cut through and get noticed and with everything.
Especially if they're pushing one person harder than everybody else, too. So you have a bunch of people. You have literally 99 out of 100 comics that are going to remain semi-unknown and one guy who's going to be a star for as long as people care.
And wasn't there
here's my question. Who won the Last Comic Standing?
Rodman.
Who won before that? Who won before that?
John Heffron at some point?
Maybe.
He's from Detroit.
And I
know he won, and I love John. He's been on the show.
But I'm just saying there's
He came up with that guy game.
There's
that
guy game?
For the bachelorette parties where you get these trading cars?
Yeah.
Ponytail guy, that guy game? Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But yeah, you're right. That's what sucks, though, is essentially, even if you win, the only thing you did was win a reality show.
Who won the Super Bowl last year? I don't remember.
Yes, you do.
It was the Seahawks, but you guys don't remember.
I didn't remember.
Unless it was the Lions. Probably.
Well, it certainly wasn't.
They got a shot this year, right?
The two of them might have
wasn't
a shot of
it. Wasn't there at one point the famous Last Comic Standing story that Jess and I have is that we've never been so mad in our lives at the television show when
Tommy
it was
John again lost.
Felipe Esparza and Tommy, and
that was nuts,
side by side, and it's like,
but Tommy didn't grow up in the Boys and Girls Club.
Well, and Tommy's my friend too. Like, I was literally working with him the next day, and I literally had congratulations geared up in my text messages to send him.
Right?
How would
you
think he wouldn't win?
Well, he was just—he's in general a better comic, and Philippe has gotten better. But at that time, it was hands down Jonagan was a better comic.
But then comedy is so subjective.
Yeah,
objective.
People are fucking morons.
I think Dave's a funny comedian.
I mean, I think that's...
But 9 out of 10 people aren't going to laugh at Dave. We know that. Okay, here's the thing.
It's
a tough world.
The hate mail I get is just obscene.
People love Felipe. I don't know why, but they do.
No, white guilty America loves Felipe.
See, I heard that, too.
If you have...
We have a
friend who's in the business.
Latina and a network executive, and certain percentage viewing increases if.
Like by 15% or 20%, something crazy.
Startling.
Yeah. Well, you have to look at it, too, of they're casting a show. Like, if you really had a comedy competition, not that it would be this, but you can't have like 10 white guys competing. You know what I mean? You're going to lose demographics. You know?
Sure, we all dream of that.
Don't we all. Look, if we could just have the superior race up there being better. No, but that's what I mean. Like, you can't have 10 black women or 10 Mexican dudes. Like, it has to be a variety, you know?
Do they think... No, see, what I was going to say was that one of those competitions had... like 4 of the 10 finalists, and this could be a wild generalization, but it's sort of true, as is all all of my facts.
Mm-hmm.
But whoever was producing the show was also the manager of some of the comedians that were in the finals.
Yeah.
You know what I'm trying to say? I mean, that happens.
Are you talking about a TV show or are you talking about a comedy tour?
I'm talking about comedy tours. I'm talking about TV shows. I'm talking about, it depends on who the manager is.
I know there's a TV show and a guy named Barry Katz and it's Last Comic Standing.
Okay, if you want to point fingers, yeah.
Well, no, that's just a known fact. We all watch Drew Carey and Brett Butler go off at the show, so that's not like I'm saying anything that's unknown to the nation.
Wait a minute, who's their manager? Oh!
The producer. How odd he would slide one of his guys in there to make more money off of something.
But having said that, is it possible to have an entirely fair competition in anything?
No,
even local comedy clubs can't have a fair competition because it's whoever brings the most people.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, there are comedy clubs that you can have. There is what's called open mic.
Yeah.
And you can go up and be on the open mic if you bring X number of people with you.
That's the saddest
thing. That's
how
it works. Yeah.
And they pay admission and drinks.
Well, and if there's anything you want done in your life as a comic, it's for your family and friends to see your first few times on stage.
Oh, my goodness, yes. Because they'll realize that you're just learning and just being on stage in an initial fashion. They're not going to hold that over your head later.
No, your parents will never yell at you for being terrible at something and going after a dream.
Wasting your life or possibly doing something else that is a little bit more tangible.
Yeah, exactly. No, it was great watching you talk about your dick to a room of silence, son. Good hustle.
Good job. I bought an extra drink. Just
yeah, it was great. Yeah. And, oh boy, your ex girlfriend from high school. Boy, would she think she made a mistake.
Boo. Yeah.
That's to say that my dad is not a fan of the podcast is an understatement.
Really?
Yeah. And so his least favorite thing on the his least favorite thing in the world is
hearing you curse.
Yeah, but hearing other people talk about his daughter cursing or that she used to sleep with Chick or what. Hey, I listened to your daughter's podcast.
Oh, really?
Oh my God!
This would seem like a very successful thing. Your parents would be proud of.
Oh no! My mom would try to use it to get out of a speeding ticket. My dad, on the other hand, would never talk about it.
Really?
Yes.
I'm sorry. That sucks.
No, it does. It doesn't bother me. I don't want my dad to listen to this.
That's true. I mean, my mom comes to shows and I'll do whatever bit in front of her and she'll leave and she'll be like, it's good. I don't know why he has to do that whole vagina bit there. But she gets like what I do, you know, like she's always been supportive. Like,
oh no, I just think it's awkward when another grown man wants to talk to you about your daughter and whatever she horrible, awful things she said on a podcast.
Yeah, no, I can see that. Yeah, that might be awkward at a party.
Yeah, but my dad's definitely not, he's not out there promoting it or anything, but he's not telling me that it's horrible.
But
we just don't talk about it.
Your mom doesn't speak of it?
No, my mom would. My mom tells
her mom
everybody.
Her mom wants to be on the podcast.
Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Not so much. No?
Not
really. I'm reacting wrong to all of this.
Okay, so from now on, whatever your knee jerk is, go the other
way.
Go
the other way.
And we'll be fine.
Go the other way.
But your dad's not.
My dad's
outgoing. I mean, in that way, you know. I mean, he's got a lot of friends, but he's not gregarious. I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Sure.
I mean, he's not gonna slap you on the back. You want to check out that podcast my daughter's doing? You know, he might not.
No.
And he's not from Long Island. I don't know
why
that
either.
Or Brooklyn or wherever the fuck.
He's always referred to Chick as Charles. Refuses to say Chick.
Right.
Refuses.
Really?
Yes.
But.
Yes.
But.
But they are the best of friends.
However, he and I are best friends, and one of his favorite segments on the Bob and Tom Show is from Greg Hahn, loves to order baked Alaska because it's on fire. And your dad
says that every time.
Giggles like a schoolgirl when he talks about that. Mm-hmm. We just talked about that.
Yeah, he just sat in a bar for 5 hours with my dad the other day.
Hey,
okay.
Yeah.
Your timekeeper, the town crier?
Okay, I'm just saying, you said, I'm meeting your dad for lunch at 11:30. And I said, okay. At 4:30, I text and said, did you make it home? Well, we're still here.
No, I said, send. And she sent, you're still there, aren't you? And I said, yeah.
Yeah, so.
But I was trying to have a coffee and maybe some
sober?
Some meth and some sober and get on the road.
Coffee at a bar for 5 hours?
No, it was just coffee for the last hour.
Yeah, oh, for the last there you go.
Yeah.
And I don't know why the scene from Breaking Bad kept popping in my head where the plane's blowing up.
Well, anyway. You know, did you see what I'm... Oh, yeah.
Like while they're at the bar talking, and then the daughter's off doing all kinds of shenanigans.
Yeah, the eyeball in the pool the whole season.
What are we talking about?
Breaking Bad.
No, and then...
Walter White.
Have you not seen it?
I haven't.
You know what Walter White looks
really?
Like,
really?
Who does Walter White look like?
You tweeted the picture of Tony Bruno looks just like Walter White. I think you did that, didn't you?
Who's Tony Bruno?
You tweeted, hey, guys, I found Walter White. I remember this tweet.
I know, but who's Tony Bruno?
He's the bald-headed guy with the glasses who's on Keith Olbermann's show every now and then on ESPN in the afternoon.
Oh, he does look like Walter White.
Yeah, there you go. See, she wasn't wrong.
Oh, that was a good observation.
Yeah,
good. Too bad I forgot about it.
Yeah, you've never seen the show.
Nope.
I watched it way after it came out, and I was really happy I did.
See, that's what I'm planning on doing.
Binge
watch it. I just started. I watched Scandal. I'm all caught up on Scandal.
Everybody likes
Scandal,
that show.
Real time. I'm watching Scandal.
Yeah. But I feel like it's it's like House of Cards for teenagers.
You know what, though? No.
You know?
Yeah. Scandal. What Scandal?
I love House of Cards.
What it's I'm starting show. To realize with Scandal is, I don't know what happened, but I think.
Mm-hmm.
They changed a writer at some point.
You think?
Because at one point it was really good.
Really?
But now it's kind of like, well, what? Where the hell's this coming from?
They probably took a survey and were like, hey, guys, Americans like shit. Is there any way that we can change
can
this
dumb
up
this
a little
down
bit?
A little bit?
They're not getting it because we're
they
using big words and
I bet
story.
They got notes, didn't they?
I guarantee you they got notes.
I can't. The president is the guy who killed Patrick Swayze in Ghost, and I just can't get past that. Like, I just can't forgive him.
Oh, is there any sadder scene than that penny going up the wall in Ghost?
I know.
It is. I got to disagree here.
I was in third grade. My dad took me to the movie theater to see that in third grade.
Whoopi Goldberg.
What's your age, if you don't mind me asking?
33.
I'm 32. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay, because I remember watching it, too.
Because you probably didn't see Ghost with the same eyes as the girl. The feminine side did it.
I just wanted to see it because there were ghosts in it.
And there weren't.
And as I recall,
there were no good ghosts.
Bad special effects. Do you remember the sound?
Oh, terrible. When he walks through the walls.
Oh, yeah.
It was crinkling paper when the ghost would appear in Ghost. Remember that?
And the guy who looks like zombie Stephen Wright from the subway.
Get off my bus.
Yeah, that dude.
Get off my train. Get off my train. He looks like?
Jeff Van Gundy.
That's another observation.
NBA
guy.
Head coach of the Knicks.
He does look like Jeff Van Gundy.
That's my favorite thing. Find these weird people that look the same. Yeah.
I would not want that as a coach. As a pep talk, you're like, just get out, man. I'll do good.
Somebody in the back is 7 foot tall. Get off my train.
Get off my train.
He's trying to give a motivational speech.
Be sure to dunk.
Yep.
I was going to tell everybody about Dave's movie. It's called The King.
The King.
Thank you.
And as I recall, it's about high school, is that?
Yeah, it's loosely based on my life. Very, you know, loosely. It's definitely my life on speed.
So you're a superhero.
I'm a superhero. I'm not actually in the movie. I play a juggalo named Crispy Jones.
Is that right?
Yes. So
now with the makeup as a juggalo.
Yeah, I'm in full juggalo makeup, ICP jersey.
Nice.
Oh my.
My
gosh.
Voice in it is. I don't know if I could ever duplicate it.
Really?
Yeah. It's not because I'm a fan. It's just because I. You'll see in the movie.
Okay.
I wanted to see.
I've got it right here.
Yeah. Like, it's a very small role. I produced it and wrote it, so I was sort of behind the camera the whole time, and I just needed a little role. So I play one of the gangsters in the movie, which I had to wear big boots and, like, some shoulder pads so I come off as intimidating, some makeup and stuff. Yeah, I'm not an intimidating guy at 5'4" and a half.
Does it take place in, like, the late 90s?
Yeah, it takes place in 1999. It's about a kid who gets his first car. He immediately goes into the ghetto of Detroit to get a homeless person to buy him beer, and all hell breaks loose. And it's based on a guy, like, the bum they go, I shouldn't say bum, but they go and see is named Spider, and he was a real dude in Detroit where he would come up to your car, and he would be like, all right, guys, what you want? I can suck your dick for $20. And he'd be like, no, that's cool. We just want you to get us beer. You know, right. That's fine if you just want to. Like, you sure? I'll let you run a train on my ass. And you're like, no, just, no, no. Just maybe beer. A case of okay. beer would be fine.
He'd first
be like,
of all, let's calm down.
Yeah.
And we just want beer, okay?
And he was always trying to, like, it was because he's basically just trying to just, he assumed the teenagers just wanted to, you know, have sex with him for money. And then he would buy us beer. And this basically story takes place where I sort of wrote it if all of that went to hell. And the first time I. Had my the first day I got my driver's license, I borrowed my dad's 1998 Buick Regal, and by the end of the night, it was destroyed. So it's loosely based on how many things could go wrong the first time a teenager gets a car.
So when you had this real life adventure, I mean, you you said you borrowed the car, it was wrecked at the end of the night.
Yeah, in real life, that happened.
In real life. So did you realize you were going to be a comedian before you wrecked the car?
No, I was just not a great kid. And first time...
Right, I remember all this now with the White Castle thing and the hooker.
Yeah, and 13 arrests.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, my first day of a car, what happened was I got...
There was a prostitute and...
White Castle.
You were with your brother.
I was with my brother,
and you'd been arrested 13 times?
I have been arrested 13 times. I've only been charged 7.
Well, that's over half.
I know. It's not the worst record.
But what were the arrests for, if you don't mind me?
What do they range? Like,
long ago was it, and then what did it cover?
Basically, most of my arrests were from 1998 until 2001 was 12 of them.
Damn.
And those
doing
were
work.
Yeah, those were 2 DUIs, underage drinking party, shoplifting, possession, which I got off of, another possession,
which I did not get off of.
No, I never got charged with drugs. Thank God, right?
Yeah.
And then my final arrest was in 2009 where I got a DUI, and then I decided that I should change my life. My life was good for a while, too. I just had a weak moment. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the White Castle one was my brother and I were leaving a White Castle, mm-hmm. and he was drunk, and we ordered a Crave case, and as we got out, my brother noticed a prostitute and just started throwing cheeseburgers at her and yelling stuff like, you know, how much for a hand job? And well, it turned out she was an undercover cop. So these two cop cars come out of nowhere.
Step out of the car, please.
And it's different from the stage story where I just say it's me and my brother. My friend Ryan was in the car, too. And, yeah, we ended up getting arrested. I got off, but he got charged with solicitation of sex. And he...
Because he said how much for a hand job.
Right. But what happened was in court, because he was young and it's a Detroit court, the judge is like, I'm not going to send this kid to prison and give him a sexual assault.
Right.
You know,
and he has to check in with his neighbors.
He's like, you should have charged him with underage drinking. And it was funny because the bailiff is reading off everything that was said, or the prosecutor is reading it off. So it's like, I don't want to jam French fries in your ass. It's just everything horrible that he was yelling, you know. And he's just how about some onions for them titties? Just stuff like. And then, so literally, you just hear the bailiff go. And then the judge starts laughing. The whole court starts laughing. The lady cop was pissed.
Oh, I bet she was.
Yeah. So that one, I got off. But yeah, the night I borrowed the car, I went into the ghetto and I had spider bias beer. And then we went around for, we played mailbox baseball and we're giving lawn jobs.
I've done both.
Yeah, we've done all those things.
Yeah. So what I had was I gave a lawn job and I didn't know that it sounds so...
That sounds
so
terrible.
Homosexual. But it is, I was giving lawn jobs.
I was giving lawn jobs to the neighborhood.
It sounds, it sounds like you're jerking a guy off at a picnic, but I was giving...
It doesn't sound bad.
No.
I mean, for me.
For you. For me, it's awkward.
It sounds like a great picnic.
Yeah.
Okay.
What a picnic.
Wow.
Hope ants don't ruin it. I gave a lawn job, and apparently the person was in a car in the driveway. So I got in a high-speed chase, like French Connection style, through Detroit, and I lost control of the car, and I slammed into a tree. In the car is my cousin and 2 of my best friends. They ran, and I was knocked unconscious. Now, here's what
they
I
left you there unconscious.
Yeah, my own family and best friends. The trunk had popped open. Here's what I didn't know. My dad had bought 12 cases of beer for an upcoming party. My dad never drank. So The trunk popped open, and there was about a half-mile river of beer leading up to the accident site.
Other
dude just drove away. So I wake up finally. My dad's there, an ambulance, a cop. And I get out of the car, and my dad just goes, "Are you all right?" And I was like, "Yeah." And then he punched me in the face. My dad had never hit me in my life.
Yeah, yeah, right.
And then just reacted, because it was his brand new car. He worked his whole life for this car, and I ruined it in a heartbeat. Oh, and now in Detroit, there's an arrow sign to go left right in front of the tree that we call Dave Landau's sign.
So it has a happy ending. And there's a movie out of it. You got a movie out of it.
And there's a movie based roughly on that night mixed with about five or six others and then characters I just added from people I've met. So it's sort of just little pieces of my life made into a one-night story and then amped up with dark humor.
So how does somebody get a movie other if they're not Chick McGee? How do they get a thing of the movie? A copy of the movie?
Chick McGee gets a special one,
though. I got mine. Right here.
They can look at the trailer at movietheking.com. But other than that, they're going to have to wait because it's in the festival circuit right now.
Oh, okay.
So we want to make sure it gets, you know, a little bit of hype before we release it.
I'll watch it and give it the appropriate tweets.
I appreciate that. I hope you like it. It's
But if I don't like it, what do I do? No.
If you don't like
it,
just
keep it to yourself.
You do.
Shut the fuck
keep
up.
Keep it to yourself.
I promise if you watch the whole... Oh, and watch after the credits, too, because there's a special scene at the very end, which I had to throw in there.
I love stuff like that.
Let me think. High school pranks for me. We were driving around. This guy I met at the last reunion I went to. Over at the Red Brick Tavern. His name's Rick Green.
Okay.
He had a yellow Chevy Malibu. And we were driving around one night and we had eggs. This is 74, okay. 75.
Oh, that's a hell of a big car,
75,
too.
And we're driving around. We have eggs and we're throwing eggs at oncoming cars as we're driving along. But you know how when, you know, physics, according, you can... You could place an egg in your hand and you can't crack it if you put it like end to end or something.
Something.
It's incredibly
strange,
structurally sound. If you put it a certain way in your hand, it won't break.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Well, evidently, a Jeep comes at us and it has a flat windshield. And I threw the egg and apparently it hit perfectly and shattered this guy's windshield.
Oh, yeah.
And we took off. And
that was it?
That was it. The police never caught us. But
really?
I got away with it.
They didn't chase you?
No. Well, no. The guy in the Jeep turned around, but the it was a Malibu. I mean, we were gone. It was like going 100 miles an hour, it seemed, immediately.
Yeah, yeah.
He never. Cars. And he was in a Jeep, so I don't think he had a chance of catching us.
Yeah, especially that was a fast car, too, and those old Jeeps were not.
And then one night, we were with David. I was with David, me and McMillan, and his Pinto, his Ford Pinto, his yellow Ford Pinto that we
teased yellow
him.
Cars in Columbus?
Oh, the Malibu was yellow, too. Yeah. That's weird.
That is weird.
He finally painted it brown because he got tired of people picking on him because he had a yellow Pinto. And we're driving around, and we've got eggs, and we're going to egg houses. And the police pulled us over, and I was in the back seat, and McMillan was in the passenger seat, and he laid the eggs out beside the car. Didn't throw them crack
just
them
set
away
them
from the car.
Yeah.
But so the police walked around and said, "Hey, what's this?" with the flashlight and saw the eggs, and we had to get out of the car.
Oh, that's...
We had beer in the car, and I was the only one. I was 18, so I was...
Contributing
a little bit. There was talk of that.
Delinquents of a minor,
but you didn't.
Delinquents of a minor.
I was never charged with anything other than the Easter egg hunt when I was a freshman.
What did you do?
I wasn't charged. I was a part of it. They had an Easter egg hunt about a block away in this giant park from what seemed giant when I was a kid. And you could run over between the neighborhoods and get to this park. And the kids would search for aluminum-wrapped, those multicolored marshmallow eggs.
Yeah.
You'd unwrap them, and there would be little slips of paper. So a $20 gift certificate at a store in downtown London. But we put your mother sucks dicks and...
and there is a newspaper.
And then one of the you won 6 rubbers and shit like that. I mean, it was just horrible.
Yeah, yeah.
And these little kids, what does this say, mommy? We could just
suck dicks, hon.
let me see where that. Let me see where that coupon's good for. No, and then this was like on a Sunday. I think it was Easter Sunday. Easter egg. Yeah, some church thing. Kids, you know. So then that Monday of the Madison Press, front page, I've shut my eyes and see it, front page, Bottom left corner, it says in a little box, obscenities mar Easter egg hunt.
Really?
And it has the whole deal, and it was me and three other guys. It was me and David and another guy named Daryl and another guy named Freddie. And Freddie showed up at Wiley's Comedy Club this past summer when I was over there. And we talked, laughed, and talked about it.
I don't think
they can arrest us now.
No.
No, certainly not.
Way past the statute of limitations. Did you ever save the newspaper articles?
No, I should have. I've said this enough.
You have all yours?
You've got all of that?
And from the parties I went to that got busted. My favorite one was we threw a kegger at my house, and everybody got away except for this very overweight girl who couldn't get over the fence. She got stuck in the wooden fence. Yeah, because it broke on her. And literally the thing, it says that kids were seen running, skulking in the bushes and on the roof. Heavy set girl was apprehended.
That's how they wrote it in the paper. Oh,
it was so funny.
She is somewhere right now cleaning a gun, staring at your picture.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Oh, my Lord.
And my favorite one was I was arrested. I went to a gas station to get Whippets, and I decided to just, they wouldn't open the door for some reason because they were closed, so I decided to just grab a bunch of pop that they had out front and steal it. So they called the cops, and I got arrested, and my face was on the crime report. So it's a picture of me, and above it, it says drunken soda pop drinker. Because when they pulled me over, they found all the pop I stole, then they found 240s of St. Ives underneath the driver's seat. Yeah.
What's the alcohol in that? Was it 20% or something?
Oh, God, it was so much. And I was such a turd back then. I used to wear jumpsuits and have 6 earrings.
Oh, you were that guy.
I was that guy.
You were a jumpsuit earring guy?
No, yeah, I was a jumpsuit earring guy. What is his name? Malibu's Most Wanted. Were you that guy?
No, I wasn't that bad.
Oh, Jamie,
I was more like Italianish. Like, here's me with 3 earrings in college. You guys can't see the photo, but
oh, we'll put it up on the website. That'll be great.
Yeah, like I wasn't a wigger, for lack of a better term.
No,
but
I mean that's what college guys looked like.
Yeah, I was more just
there was no. I don't remember there being...
It's a star card, so it knows my future.
I don't remember it being a preppy time. There wasn't like a preppy group of people. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
all the guys looked like that.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. I remember that.
So it wasn't like too bad. Wait, oh, there you go. You can take a photo.
I'm going to take a photo of this so we can put it up on the doohickey. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's me in college. And I was a little bit, you know, off from how I was in high school. I was a little bit better in college, so...
You got blonde hair.
I did. Yeah, blonde hair. I
had this haircut only shorter, and it was bleach blonde with the earrings and the big baggy pants.
I wore the biggest baggy pants back then, and the
and
carpenter
all the pockets,
pants.
Yes, yeah. The carpenter pants.
She tried the pictures I've the photographs I've seen. You tried so hard not to give a damn. It was.
Did you just look like Eminem?
So exactly.
Yeah, a lot of my friends did.
Exactly.
So many people in Detroit had the bleach blonde hair, and the white tee was very popular at the time. Were you a raver?
I wanted to be. I went, but I was so scared.
Did you ever do E?
Yeah, I did. Like one time I was like, I'm just going to do it, and I'm going to try it all, like in one night. And then I was just like, I don't want to do that.
She got her tongue pierced. She got other stuff pierced.
Oh, yeah, I pierced all the things.
Really?
Yeah. I above the waist, I pierced all the things.
Oh, nipples and all that. Mm-hmm. Sorry to be...
No, I don't care.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I did.
That's what it was.
Yeah, when I was on spring break, my sophomore year in college, and me and a friend that I'd known since the 5th grade, he was like, let's get our nipples pierced. And I was like, okay.
It's always good on spring break. Were you in a foreign country?
No.
Oh, that's good. You're like, we're in Mexico.
Well,
let's do it
Florida.
While it's sterile.
Might as well be.
Well, yeah, Florida is pretty much...
We were in Panama City.
So
we had no money, and we were like, well, let's say that we just got engaged, and we want matching, and he did it for free. The guy did it for free, some old guy.
Seriously?
Yeah, did it for free. We have it on video. We videoed me getting my nipples pierced, and I have no idea where it is.
Who has that?
A homeless guy with a hypodermic needle.
It's
on video? That's a weird thing to have out there.
I know. Why? Yeah. I know.
Somebody has that.
I didn't even realize until I just said that.
Yeah.
They don't even know what they have.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, right now, somebody went to school with these rifling through old tapes.
When this podcast becomes like a talk show and on TV.
I just realized that someone has that somewhere.
I have a video somewhere of me really, really drunk at a party explaining masturbation techniques to like 30 people, and I literally throughout the course of it drink an entire pint of raspberry Smirnoff, and I'm wearing a robe.
You're wearing a robe?
I wanted to be extra creepy, and my friends were filming me. Like, it's all right. Like jokes and ad lib, but it was definitely that thing where, like, I hope never, ever, like, surfaces.
The only video of me out there, I think, is me doing my senior speech.
Oh, that's terrible.
Yeah, it's, like, so lame, but it's on a reel-to-reel video. It wasn't a video.
People are too lazy to do anything
with
that.
Nobody's going
to
do anything.
Somebody probably has it, but they brought it into light, and now it's ruined.
I think I was doing a crazy rendition of Casey at the Bat or something. But nothing. Yeah, I was an outlaw.
You're right, masturbation, nipples pierced, and Casey at Bat, huh?
And a guy who did well enough in school to give the speech.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah.
I was not that guy, although my principal jumped up and down in joy when I graduated in my fifth year.
I remember my principal telling me that, hey, you're a smart kid. Mm-hmm. Oh, thank you. You're not going to get any, you can't make a living being a smart ass. Okay?
Yeah.
Remember that.
No.
Oh. He was real upset.
I was golfing a few years ago, and my high school principal got paired up with me.
Oh, my God.
And he's literally like, I always knew you'd be a comedian. I was like, fuck you. Like, all you ever did was kick
shit
me out of
me.
School. I had to go before a board to not get expelled. What are you talking about? You always knew.
Tell the story about you getting your tongue pierced. Didn't they think you got beat up when you got your tongue pierced?
Oh, well, that was senior spring break when I was in high school. And I went and got something. I didn't get my nipples pierced till college. But I went on senior spring break, and I was like, I'm going to go by myself because, A, I'm drunk, and I don't want to try to get all these dumb bitches out the door at the same time.
Right.
Two, if I chicken out, I don't want anybody to know. And so I walked down there. Well, all of the preppy girls that from my class were down there, and they were all getting their belly buttons pierced.
I gotcha.
And so I was like, well, I'm just going to. So I got my eyebrow and my nose pierced. I'd already had my tongue pierced. Just to piss my dad off as soon as I turned 18, and then it gets a little hazy, and someone tried to steal my purse, and so I chased them down the street and jumped on their back, and then I fell, and
is
so
this
I
Panama have, City again,
Fort Myers.
Okay.
So then, so I get back to the hotel room, and nobody. I've been gone for hours. Nobody knows where I am.
Yeah,
but my pants are ripped because I fell, and then I have blood coming out of my nose and my eyebrow, and everybody thought I had gotten into a fight, and I was like, no,
I
was supposed to be cool. I got pierced, and
I'm cool, guys.
Yeah, but that much alcohol, it never stopped.
No, your blood's so thin. Fortunately, you look like half the women in Florida.
Right.
Just bleeding and looking.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Blowing a .34, your blood's not going to clot.
Oh, that's the worst when you are,
What's the worst for me now is that I still talk to some of these girls that I went to high school with. We beat
you
every once in a while.
Club. We have a nice club.
Yeah, okay. So there's things that you did that you really don't need to be brought up once a month when you play cards with these girls, and now you're in your 30s, and they still remember when spring break you didn't wear clothes for 3 days in a row, and you remember, and I'm just like, why are we still talking? We all remember. I'm trying not to. Why do we have to talk about
now
this?
That I've had some like level of success and I have a cool job and stuff, now every time I go and hang out with my old friends, it's like, oh yeah, remember when you bonged a fifth at that party, started tap dancing, then cops threw you down the stairs? I just wanted to hang out, guy. But that you literally can't live.
But then if you want to hang out and be quiet, what's wrong with Dave, man? He's what a bummer.
He used to be a good time, and now he's all sober and married.
Are you married?
Yeah, 7 years.
Oh, wow.
And going to have a baby.
You're going to have a baby.
No shit.
Yeah, I got a baby coming.
That's exciting.
I've never been this happy about anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm really excited to have a son.
A son.
A son, yeah.
I know it's a boy. And it's doing March?
March 9th, yep.
March 9th.
Yes, sir.
March 9th.
Yep.
That's exciting.
Yeah, I'm really, really excited. And I'm very glad that my past is behind me.
Right.
And not that dad, because I've seen how that
works
out. Have you ever seen the documentary Small Town Ecstasy?
No.
I highly recommend watching it.
Okay. Ever seen, what's the name, Gummo?
Yeah, yeah. It's by the director of Kids.
Yeah. Gummo. And these, and you'd never know that these kids in Gummo are actors, right?
Oh, yeah.
But they look like it's shot in a way that it looks very much a slice of life, and they just plop down. And this is a, but this one guy fights a kitchen chair.
Yep.
And it's like the
I feel like I was there.
The craziest thing you've ever, but the, it's in the middle of nowhere, and there's nothing going on, and there's a guy dressed like a bunny rabbit or something.
Yep, yeah.
And
it's in the tradition of how that guy makes films. I'm trying to think of his name. He just did another one, too, with called Spring Breakers.
But kids, I love Spring Breakers.
Yeah, I like it, too. James
Franco's
in it.
Spring Breakers, yeah.
And it's all the Disney girls turned bad and stuff.
And they, like, kill people.
Yep.
I mean, it's a movie, of course.
Yeah, and James Franco's essentially, the rave guy everybody once knew. The teeth and the white guy with dreadlocks.
I did not realize that was the same guy who did...
Yeah, Kids, Gummo, and Spring Breakers.
It's a weird...
There's a lot going on in his head.
Man, I guess.
Yeah.
To have that all rain in. But he does do an incredible job of making it look like it's not a fucking movie.
Gummo especially. Yeah. Like that does feel like you're sort of peeping into a world of kids on drugs. Oh. It's a very creepy...
Because
I fought a vacuum on acid once.
What happened?
I fought a vacuum on acid. In the middle of a party.
Like a vacuum upright or a
vacuum,
canister?
It was an upright.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
I had reason to be intimidated. Okay. I thought it was talking shit to me.
It's coming at me. Fair enough.
I probably sound awful to every listener. I've been sober a long time.
I only know you as this Dave. I don't know the East Lansing Dave. I don't know the...
Yeah, the crazy.
I don't... You just seem so... mild-mannered and intelligent and thoughtful and...
Yeah, I genuinely am. I had problems when I was young, and I sort of reacted the way... But it's funny, like, how you talk about your problems, and then, like, you talk about throwing eggs at cars. Everybody's not that different. It's just to the level of where you go, you know?
Everybody's
had it, yeah. You go through it. I think when I think about this, and I guess because I remember it, I think... how I'm going to tell my children, and you've probably thought about this, like you think about all the ways you're going to raise your kids and what you're going to say and what you're going to do. And my kids are 11 and 9, and my son is at that age where it's just like shit's happening. And
stuff's going to start happening.
Yeah, and it's just, and probably a little later in life, I'll tell him, you know, your 20s are for being worthless. Like, I don't mean that mean, but that does, like, I can't expect anything from you when you're in your 20s.
You really can't from anybody. And I mean, for me, it was teens. Like, the way I put, like, me and my friends, like, we partied really hard when we were teens. When we got to college, we partied like SNL stars who died while on cast. You know, like, that was sort of how I put my existence. But then by the time I was, like, 26, I think, when I last got in trouble, and I had been good for a while, I was old enough to go, yeah, you know what, it's just time to walk away from the party.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that that's sort of... I think it's a good realization to come to, and I think it's better to get it out of your way young and in your 20s than suffer your whole life.
We've talked about this on the podcast before.
Yeah, you kind of need to do it.
Everybody is the same, and they have to go through all of life's... There are certain processes you have to go through, and if you don't go through them when you're supposed to go through them, or when... I guess it's...
The age-appropriate time.
Whatever, whoever can define that, you go back and do it, or I guess.
You're eventually going to. Or if you don't, and you get stuck in that place, and you just...
That's the problem. You can get stuck in it. And But I think for a lot of people, too, if you don't let what's inside out every now and then, or at least have some kind of rebellious thing, even if it's a rebellious career like you have, really, I mean, when you think about it, radio, stand-up, all those things are not... the norm. I mean, if there's not some level of where you're taking risk, I don't know if you necessarily will ever feel like you're living. And that's when you hear stories of somebody just snapping at work or a kid falling out of a dorm window because he's never had a beer, you know, stuff like that, where it's like, I think you have to have those moments in your life where you do something crazy.
Well, did you do that when you were that age just to have fun, or was it to relax, or was it to...
I had, in all seriousness, my dad was diagnosed with brain cancer when I was young, and he was like our coach and like the guy who raised everybody in the neighborhood, but then he was in Boston a lot for treatment, and I was staying with a family friend, and she was a drug addict. She OD'd while I was staying with her, so I had this like relatively dark thing, and then I had a few friends that were killed, and it was, I just kept getting into a darker and darker place. And the first time I drank, it felt like I was free. It just took away every bit of pain. So in all seriousness, like, yeah, it was to numb how bad my life had gotten, or at least everything around me had gotten.
Yeah.
For somebody who's a teenager, too, it was too hard to grasp. Like, I look back on it, and I'm like, oh, I should have been there more for my family.
But you didn't have the coping skills.
No, because you're young and stupid. Yeah. And my mom was sort of that person who would rather sweep it under the rug at the time than be like, hey, I think you're high. Like, the first time I saw my dad in a halo, which is essentially it's screwed into your head, I was tripping on acid really, really hard. And I walked in and I was just staring at him. And my dad had never done drugs and he was not a drinker, but he was a medic in Vietnam.
Okay.
So when I walked in, he looked at me and he was like, okay, well, you're not drunk. He goes, you're not on pot. He goes, did you take a hallucinogenic? And I was like, huh?
Yeah.
What did you? And like his face is melting.
Bingo, he's kind of
you know, so it's like he knew and he was sort of trying to help me, but he really couldn't because he was so sick.
Right.
So and then, you know, when he died, that was another level of it where, you know, you kind of just turn to doing these like bad things. And not to be all like sappy or wound opening, but like that, I think, is why, like, at first I was slightly rebellious to be cool.
Right.
But eventually it just became my only coping mechanism.
And I was the almost exact opposite of that. And my parents and I were very close in age. My mom and my dad was 18 and my mom was 17 when I was born.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So when I was 18, they were, you know, 35, 30. But my dad sold drugs and would manufacture at the living room coffee table with that make marijuana cigarettes and sell them while we would watch Laugh In. I mean, he would get them ready. And yeah. And so for me to rebel, it was to be straight laced and
that is
and quiet and boring. And
yeah, that
because they were like, she, since I've really come to understand it, actually, she really liked vodka and orange juice. And, you know, I mean, they were both self-medicating, and they weren't living the lives that they wanted, and they had some smart-ass weird kid who thought he was smarter than everybody else, and you know, he wasn't acting like a normal kid, and they weren't acting like normal parents. And
I find that so fascinating, though, because I had that a little bit too, where I grew up, where you had maybe the mom who took a lot of Xanax and drank highballs all day, but then, you know, the son would never touch alcohol for that reason. Yeah. My dad was like that. His parents were drunk Irish Detroit, you know, just alcoholic, so he never drank beer because he just absolutely hated what he saw his whole life of just, you know, so that's a really interesting thing.
It took me, I was probably 25 or 26 when I got even a little drunk for the first time. I would buy beer for everybody else and drive them around, and I would hardly ever.
See, I was 13, I think, and we dusted off a fifth. And then my friend died, like not literally, but he died for like 3 minutes because he drank like so much that he died.
My mom
had to call an ambulance and everything. So this was the first time I drank, if this wasn't a huge foreshadowing of the years to come. So they call the police and literally I walk upstairs and I'm so drunk I lay in the stretcher and they're like, get up. And then we sit down and this guy who was like the most Clouseauian, I guess I would say, sort of detective.
Inspector Clouseau.
He shows up later to talk to me and my friend Brian, because it was me and my friend Brian and my friend Ray. My friend Ray was in the hospital. Yeah, he wanted to get to the bottom of what he had done and he found a bottle of non-toxic Elmer's wood glue. So he's standing there going, all right, guys, I just need to know the truth. How much did you snort? So it's me and another drunk 13-year-old laughing our ass off like, yeah, great job, Columbo. You didn't notice that? You didn't notice the empty bottle of liquor down there? So like,
oh my God.
Yeah, like even the first time I did it, it was like, it just was like, this probably isn't a good thing for you. But the second I did it, I felt like heaven.
So you snuck drinks a lot early? Is that what I'm hearing?
It was never extreme like that. It was, I had a girlfriend and her parents weren't home a lot. And I was in sixth, seventh grade. And we would wake up and we would make like, I don't know if this is, girl, we would make a big breakfast for ourselves. I don't know if we were just fat kids, but we liked to eat a big breakfast every time we were there. And we would eat, and we would make tequila sunrise and we would drink them. And then we just end up drinking all day. And then we would smoke cigars, and it was like, we thought, I mean, we were behaving like retirees, but
that's so true.
We wouldn't, it wasn't like, I don't know, it's not in my bloodline to be able to say no or to know when to stop, but we would just maintain a really awesome fucking buzz all day.
That's, and I think too, that was the attempt, was to maintain a buzz.
Yeah.
But for me, the excess was
also part
of it.
I think that's the difference between girls and boys also.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think, I mean, like, guys have something to prove at
that age.
You
really
do.
And
it was just me and my girlfriend. Like, it was just us. We were drinking alone together.
And watching cartoons or?
Yeah. No, we would make music videos. There's music videos. We would lip sing these music videos of, like, there's the Cranberries and I mean, just crazy.
Linger, I was just going to say.
Yeah, it was just, it's
singing
nuts.
Zombie while you're just holding your margarita, wearing your Hawaiian
shirt.
You know, the Cranberries have a very nice version of Go Your Own Way by Fleetwood Mac.
They do, actually.
Yes.
It's darn good.
Yeah. Yeah, we did.
It's interesting, though. Like, we did tape stuff back then. I made a bunch of short films that were called, like, The Black Jean Scandal and all this other stuff for audio video, and that was the one thing that kind of still made me on the right track was the fact that you could record stuff back then, like cameras. That's interesting.
We recorded
everything.
Like,
we
I don't
did
know
too.
What it was, but it was just, like... Like everything, like, and then there's this one which I would, oh God, if we could find it. I'm recording her, and we did each other's makeup, and you know, we've got our buzz on, I guess, and she's dancing in the yard, and her older brother runs by, and she fucking snaps, and I just keep it, and so I follow her. She's chasing him, beating the shit out of him in the yard, and I've still got the camera on.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, just dumb
it
shit like that.
It was only, I'm going to say within the last 5 years, maybe the last 5 to 7 years, I realized what
blackout.
Blackout.
Oh, you realized?
He's so proud. Like, if you could pinpoint, there's like three things he's proud of in the last 5 years. And one of them is knowing what blackout drunk means.
Blacking out was the same as passing out.
No.
Not at all.
No, it's great. No, it's actually, it
almost
is.
Almost the exact
it is opposite. It is almost the same as passing out, as in you're not there.
Yeah.
But
man. What scares me about blacking out is, and I used to hear this in meetings I went to, I won't say which ones, but how they call alcohol spirits. And they call it that because the devil goes inside of you and takes over your body.
Oh my God.
And literally, I will say every blackout I've ever had, like, it's amazing you just found out I have spent literally 500 nights in my life just trying to piece together the night before of just calling people and go, hey, sorry, for what? Oh, okay, good. Do you know what happened? Like, yeah, and just trying to, it's
you're
so
looking
scary.
In the mirror going, where did I get this bruise? What the fuck?
Oh, yeah, you're wearing, you wake up, you have one shoe.
It's not yours.
Yeah,
it's not yours.
I literally woke up in a weird neighborhood on a driveway once with just no shirt, and I still don't know what happened. Like, in the middle of the summer. Like, it's just one of those things where I'll go, well, I remember I was talking to Courtney, and now I'm here.
Yeah.
Like, I just time traveled to the next day.
I would, you know, and I'll do this, and you people listening can take for this for what it's worth. I'll be, you know, I have two dogs, and it'll be, you know, 5 or 6 in the evening. And the next thing I know, it's the next morning. And I've gone to sleep.
Yeah.
I put the dogs away in their crates, but I don't remember any of that. I mean, it's not destructive behavior, and I'm not hurt in any way, but
our stories are funny because they were 20 years ago.
Oh, yeah. You mean like last Tuesday? Make it funny?
We're actually here to talk to you about that.
I have the...
Fair enough.
For the longest time when I was in college, it was after a New Year's Eve party, and every time I would walk into a party, everybody would go, you smell that? And I'd be like, yeah. And I had no idea what it fucking meant.
Yeah.
But I was like, yeah. And everybody would laugh. And it's like, yeah. And then it's, hey, you smell that? And I was like, yeah. No, I mean, for like a year, I was like, what the fuck are they talking about? So finally, apparently, at this New Year's Eve party that I blacked out at, I had hooked up with someone, and I came back downstairs, and I said, y'all smell that? I just got tore up.
Oh my God.
And so for the rest of my college career, that's what
you were famous
and
for.
And I had no idea. And I'd always be like, yeah, you smell that.
I love
that.
That you're still like, going along with it. Like, it's the cool kid. Like, yeah, you remember when I did that?
And I was, oh my God, I was so embarrassed. I was so embarrassed. Terrible.
Yeah, some of the stuff.
Just the shit that you. Yeah. I mean, there's no way I would say that, and I'm sure
that
I said
it.
That
is so odd. Knowing what I, you know, well, it's my theory about. This is the Dave I know. This is the Jess I know. I can't imagine.
Oh,
I'm surprised we haven't met. Maybe we did.
Maybe you guys hooked up.
Yeah, 20 years. I never know.
Yeah.
Just, I don't, but it was colleges where I acted pretty stupid.
Yeah, mine went high school and college is sort of where I gained my sanity, oddly enough, and started doing Second City and that kind of thing. And yeah, that was, but yeah, high school a little bit into it. College was still there, don't get me wrong, but
yeah.
I would get pretty drunk at my brother's frat, drive home and stop and get like a triple burger at Burger King every night and then usually pass out while eating it. But that was somewhat tame compared to stuff I had done before that. And I was getting straight A's at that point, which was weird too.
Wow. Where'd you go to school?
I went to Lansing Community College.
Oh, okay.
For film and theater. And then I was also doing the Second City at that point in my life. So.
And where was your brother?
My brother went to State.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Gotcha. And he's older or younger?
Twin.
Twin. Yep. Oh.
But not... Identical.
Not and identical.
A lot of people don't even know that we're twins, actually. Even the people who went to high school with us, because we don't look that much alike.
Is that your only sibling?
My only sibling, yeah. My parents had us, and we're like, that's good.
We're done.
Yeah.
So
my dad's hair went from black to white in a series of photographs that took like 2.5 years. It's pretty
great. Was your brother as crazy as you?
In a different way, he was able to maintain... good grades and stuff like that, but he's still a little crazy, but he was also the dude who on senior day didn't wear anything under his veil and flashed everybody while he was getting his diploma. So my brother was more like jockish crazy.
Right, gotcha.
And I was more like burnout crazy, right. I guess would be the difference.
Well, it was really kind of you for give your parents the whole experience.
Yeah. My mom really appreciated it. yeah, she's...
So she still live in Detroit or...
Yeah, my mom lives, she's remarried now. She lives in Grosse Pointe, suburb of Detroit.
Oh, the Pointers.
I'm from, yeah. So that's
I love that movie. It's a great movie.
That is one of my all-time favorite movies.
Grosse Pointe Blank?
Yeah.
Big Dyke Boom, popcorn.
Yeah, it's
a great movie.
Yeah, it's one of my all-time favorites, not just because I'm from there, but I just love John Cusack's speech about why he can kill people, how he just doesn't have that thing in his brain that makes him feel it's wrong.
I tested out. They said I could do it. And like one guy, her father goes, "So you get medical with that or something?" Yeah, yeah. I wanted to know what the health plan was if he was a hitman.
And I just love him and Dan Aykroyd in the little shop where they both have their guns under the table pointing at each other.
Yeah. What's going on? Yeah.
Yeah.
No, we're gonna make a consortium. We're gonna get together.
Yeah.
Concern.
Yeah.
You think about it. You ponder.
Yeah.
So the chances of your son having a twin. That's how that works, right? It skips a generation?
It skips a generation. I was glad that, and I hope other things skip a generation. fortunately, my wife comes from a pretty rock-solid genetic pool. So.
That's good.
See, now, my family, without exception, are not very close. I mean, I have an aunt that I never see. I have an uncle I never see. I have cousins I never see.
Okay, but in your you're a grandfather, so you actually that you are your family. Now.
I don't
you know
see
what I
my
mean?
Grandkids like,
you're
much.
You're the patriarch. You're the .
Well,
right?
And they don't make an effort to anyway. My point is,
let's go down this road.
What are you? What are you going to tell? What are you going to tell your kids when they go? Do I know what you did, Dad, when you were young? What are you?
It's weird, because I do want to be that hypocritical father,
that's right,
where I never did anything.
Right.
But then I also have that thing too where. Do you rebel against the fact that I've never done anything either, though, and become, where's that comfy line to go, look, I know how to do the right amount of drugs, son. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like
Yeah.
When you're going to party smart, son.
Yeah.
Right.
It's sort of that thing where I do wonder about that because I do at some point have to be serious with them and just go, it's very dangerous and stupid. And but you were 17. We were all a kid once and we were all in college. So it's like. You can't go into somebody's head because even when my dad and mom are always like, trust me, I know what you're doing.
Right.
We did all of it or we know somebody who did all of it. You're like,
you
don't understand.
Yeah.
And then you become an adult and you go, oh, my God, they were right about almost everything.
Uh-huh.
You know, and that's the scary part is you can't get them.
Mm-mm.
You can't get somebody who thinks that you're horribly uncool to ever think that what you're telling them is.
They don't know.
But they know. They don't know till they know.
They don't know till they know.
Yeah, that's the conversation with my son, and it's God, it seems so close. So I've the stance I've taken with him was, if you think someone around you is drunk, ask me, and I'll tell you if they're drunk, and then you'll know that's what that looks like. If you think our cousin is high, 99% chance, yes, they're high. It's Easter and they're high.
So
I'm just like, just ask me because I want you to know how this looks.
Easter and it's and it's true though. Like the one thing that really got to me was when my wife had filmed me drunk, and I went, "Oh my god!" And like that's just one of those things where, unless you can physically see you in that realm, it won't really hit you. But because I remember. My parents were never drunk, but I remember drunk people from when I was a kid, and I was just like, oh, Uncle Doug's sure a lot of fun. You know, he's always trying to, like, take my nose and do all kinds of fun stuff, you know? But at the same time, everybody's just looking at him like, get him away from the kid. I don't know if he's going to,
grab
the
kid. Yeah. Yeah, no, it is, and it's, oh, God.
And parents now, too, like, at least my friends who have teenage sons, it's that sort of thing where, like, yeah, I caught him with pot. I don't know what to do. I will say this, though. This pot is amazing.
That's what I have a very good friend who's he doesn't do drugs anymore, but he is well versed over his lifetime.
Right,
he did some hard ass stuff at the time he did it, and he says the stuff that's out there now is unbelievably strong. Yes. Even the lowest, awfulest shit is the best. Incredible compared to what used to be out there.
Yeah, because like I've seen the stuff my friends get just from like, you know, their prescriptions because they went to a doctor and they're like, I have a headache every now and then. And they're like, well, here's your pot. But I'll look at it and I'm like, we used to have to go into the ghetto, pick the fish food and seeds out of it or whatever it was. You know what I mean? Finally get to the few nuggets that were in this filthy dime bag. And then it's like, and now it's just this like, it's AK-47 Acapulco Gold Combined Strain and just smelling it, you're high for a week. Mm-hmm. It's crazy.
Is this the equivalent of I used to walk 2 miles to
school? It is.
In the driving snowstorm and I had to run and catch the bus with bare feet.
Oh, that has to be the case because the last time I smoked as an adult, I smoked... And I'm with my little brother, and so I'm like, oh, fucking smoke. I'll show you how we smoke. You know, this is what we're gonna do.
And so I just
as big as a hit as I could take, and just all this, and literally next thing I know, I'm in the bathtub upstairs at my house. I am puking, and I am just shoving it away to make room for more vomit. And
oh my god!
And I'm shaking, and I'm going tell the kids I love them. I'm so sorry.
Oh,
I'm going to die this way. I'm serious. I was like, you guys laced this. This is laced with like heroin and just all the
speed,
things.
Because I've had that happen. But like then, like, yeah, because I had one time we were hitting a joint and we hear a pop and we're like, what's that? And he goes, oh, I got some crack. And we're like, we just smoked crack? And it was like the one time I did. Yeah. We made him dump it all into the sewer, but it's like that wasn't a weed high.
No.
And 20 minutes later, I'm like, I kind of want more crack, guys. Like,
yeah. Yes.
Oh,
yeah.
God.
Like, they're like, no, it's just the best pot I've ever had. And I was like, you're fucking liars. Like
I think
thought
it's
I was gonna
be
die.
Laced,
it was hit had I, to have been. Maybe not because I was the only one in that state. Maybe
I smoked
I'm just very sensitive.
One time in the last several years, and I just don't want to do anything anymore. But I was in Denver, it had just become legal, and we went to this guy. We went to this office of the guy who basically made the movement happen.
Right.
And we were all sitting around, and they were smoking, and I was like, I kind of want to just take one legal hit. To know what it feels like to actually... Right.
Was it
legally.
The Stanley Brothers? Was it one of the Stanley Brothers?
It might have been. I don't... But it was like pictures
like
of like
of
him and the president and Rush Limbaugh like in this whole room.
Yeah, right.
It was,
yeah, they're famous, yeah.
Yeah, it was crazy. And then he packs this piece of... It looked like a golden penny and he puts it into this like freebase pipe.
Oh, I've got a golden penny.
And I hit it and I took one hit and I was high for it. Literally I got on stage that night and I was like, I just want to apologize in advance. I smoked one hit of pot at 11 and I am still somehow high.
I don't know what you kids call it, but I'm still high.
Yeah, I don't know what you young guys are doing, but this is, and it was something he invented. And then he had like how Bob likes the pinups. He had pinups in the office of all the high time strains that not only did he smoke, but he invented.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
And I was just looking at this stuff, and it was insane. It was like nothing I've ever seen. It was like being in Frankenstein, you know, in the lab. It was crazy.
This episode has gone an odd way that I didn't think we were going to get here.
What we're trying to say is Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. No.
Merry Christmas, everybody. What do you want for Christmas?
What do I want for Christmas?
Peace you know, the older you get, the more you realize what you want for Christmas, you can't buy it.
Yeah, true. That's probably true.
Can't buy it.
Yeah. Good health. Health is good.
That would be good. Good health.
Good health.
Yeah. Not black out so much. Oh, that's just me.
Less black.
You guys are all cured and everything. Right. DaveLandau.com.
DaveLandau.com.
Honest to God?
Yep.
How'd you get that? You were early, right?
Yeah, like 12 years ago, 11 years ago.
And where's your movie?
MovieTheKing.com.
All right. And you're in Indianapolis this weekend.
Yep.
December 19th and 20th at Crackers Downtown.
And Piggy's Brew House the night before Christmas Eve, the 23rd in Angola, Indiana.
I've been to Piggy's. Yeah. We've been to Piggy's. Yeah. You'll love that. Piggy's is a good time.
I've heard really cool things about it, so I'm looking forward to it.
Thank you, Dave, for joining the Two-Timer Club here on the Off the Air podcast.
I really appreciate you guys having me. Thank you both very much.
Dave gets compliments wherever he goes across the country saying, oh, I heard you on the Off the Air podcast.
I was at the Colts game the other day, and a guy yelled at me from the car and said, Jess, big fan. And that's the first time that ever happened, so that was cool.
Well, there you go. We'll be, now that we've come back after this four-week Thanksgiving break, we'll be going on a four-week Christmas break. Or maybe we'll do another one next week. I don't
Christmas
know.
Christmas time.
Thank you, Jess.
You're welcome.
Merry Christmas, everybody. Tell everybody about the Off the Air podcast. That's what I want for Christmas.
And cheer.
Thank you.
Fun for all the children call their favorite time of year. Snowflakes in the air. Carols are.